Thanks for checking out this podcast, guys. We are on with a long-term mentor of mine, Mark Luxon. I would actually consider you a mentor, and I appreciate all the guidance you've given me over the years. Thanks for jumping on, Mark.
Mate, you're so very welcome. Thanks for having me.
That's cool. So, Mark, for people that don't know who are you? What do you do?
Male, I'm turning 40 tomorrow. Dad of three kids. Mate, I've been in the industry, just obviously being a bit cheeky, but I've been in the industry, fitness industry. I actually finished school, became a financial planner, spent 5 years in that industry. And after a few injuries, kind of went down the rehab route after some ACLs, ended up becoming a PT. Absolutely loved it. PT studio owner, done corporate speaking, and eventually, pretty much since 2015, have more stepped into a mentor space around business. Obviously, you knew me through FMA Strength Institute, which was a big educator of personal trainers around rehab, strength and conditioning, and then we brought business together. So, been doing all of that, pretty much been in the industry 15 years now. So, yeah, it's been good fun, seen lots change in that time.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating journey, especially to watch over the last couple of years. I just wanted to switch into, I love watching your Instagram because you get after it physically. And I know you just mentioned you're going to turn 40 tomorrow. A lot of other 40-year-olds are probably not looking as good as you, and you like to keep yourself in shape. You know, I know there is no secret, but what's the secret, Mark? Is it just the meat, or is it you're hitting the TRT, or what's going on?
Mate, I'll 100% say you could take my bloods anytime, and I wish I was on TRT because I probably have better gains. But look, mate, I think it's funny, you know, I've had mates say that, you know, like, you know, it's easy for you, you know, you're fit. Like, it's such a cop out. Mate, I've always been an athlete ever since, you know, I was on a school sports scholarship. So yeah, I was probably one of the naturally talented athletes as a kid. I was into from little lats to playing footy. Like that kind of graduated, and through school, I got to national level in sprinting. It was more of like a, it's an out and out 100 meter, 200 meter and long jump specialist. So everything fast twitch. And that and playing footy. So that was my life. But honestly, along the journey, you know me as a very broken fossil. I've pretty much had most things reconstructed, my ankle, two ACLs, a shoulder, my jaw, my nose. I've always been an athlete. And to be honest, like, I've done my best at times when I've been stressed, when I went more into becoming a business person, where I did everything I possibly could to get fat. But to be honest, the key's been consistency. I love training. I think most things in my life, no matter ups and downs or whatever, I always ended back in the gym, if I could summarize it.
So in terms of consistency, like, what does that look like on a weekly schedule? Do you aim or prioritize movement every day, or like, what are you doing there?
Yeah, mate, I think for me as a rule, I just want to do something every day. I've been working, up until 2015, I was a personal trainer, so it was easy. I mean, you're a PT, you train 5 days a week. It just kind of goes with the craft. From 2015 till probably 3 years ago, I was inconsistent at best. And when I say inconsistent, probably two times a week, maybe three times a week, was about my lowest that I would go to a gym. I felt like, and I'm not sure whether you see this with a lot of your clients, but I played pretty high level footy. I'd be probably like the same as like the Waffle, so I played VFL, but played high level like local footy and A grade amateurs. So post footy, I felt like I really lost a connection with, like, that was the way I kept fit, was football. And so I had a lot of injuries, but I always trained for a sport. And then probably after that, look, I took on probably a little bit of, I thought maybe powerlifting and I'll get strong. And I got fucking strong quick. Like, dude, seeing what you squat, like, I don't chase that anymore. But I, you know, I was squatting over 220 kilos. I was deadlifting 240 kilos. I benched, and I got to those levels from about, let's say, a third of that less in about 9 months because I'm fast twitch, right? Like I just took to that. But I didn't love how tired I got. So I switched to more, like I like being strong. I like being kind of, you know, aesthetically looking good. And I like keeping fit. So, you know, being ADHD, I like all of it. And about 3 years ago, I got a coach who I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to work with a coach. I can kind of outsource my coaching. He's a Perth boy as well. Isaac Davidson's a guy I've done some coaching with. And I pretty much train. My sweet spot is about 3 strength sessions a week and 2 strongman hit style cardio sessions a week. And then outside of that, just a bit of like, you know, recovery stretching. That'd be about it. But that's about my sweet spot. And it seems to work from a recovery point of view.
Yeah, cool. So it's like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then you just do Tuesday, Thursday, kind of recovery strongman.
Yeah, I even felt like, it's funny, like I'd talk to him and go, you know what, like Monday for me, I want to focus on work. So, I kind of backload my training. So it's like, it's almost like I do full body, then I do HIIT, then I do an upper body session, because I like to prioritize that. Then I have a day off, and then I'll hit another full body, and then a conditioning session. But I do my full body and conditioning sessions Friday, Saturday, have Sunday off, Monday off, and then I start again on Tuesday. So on my days off, mate, it's still like, cool. You know, yeah, I shoot. Yeah, and I've just found that works for me from a recovery point of view.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, it's interesting. I think a lot of people kind of miss that recovery aspect of it. Like they train hard, like motherfuckers, maniacs. Probably a lot of my clients get that from me, and then they just completely neglect the recovery component of training, which you hit the nail on the head. I'm finding it a lot harder, especially getting into like my 30s now. Things don't recover as quickly as they used to, especially like I kind of feel it in my joints, like my knees. Hips and stuff, they hurt quite a bit, but you know, it's I gotta learn my own lessons eventually. Like all
what,
my mentors
what's,
have said
dude
that
what's your split,
like one day it's gonna slow down. So this cycle I'm doing now, we do push pull legs essentially, just like we've just switched it up to a bro split style. I love training in groups, so my training was in groups, which is not the most optimal method for results, but it's the most optimal method for showing up and having an intense training session. So previously we were doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday lower body, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday upper body, but I wasn't doing 6 sessions, so I'd probably do 4. I'd do like Monday, Tuesday, and then like Thursday, Friday style. Not the most optimal method for getting results, but it was great for just like consistency. I prefer like a legs push pull kind of split, and then just working on weaknesses from there. So if you're like, you know, you need to work on more pulls and back, then you do 2 pull sessions, that kind of thing. So, you know, I like to experiment stuff, and I've got like a really good sample size of people to experiment with in my clients.
Yeah.
So it's nice. They're always just like the guinea pigs in some way or another with like a guided methodology behind it. So, yeah.
Yep.
I hope that explains it.
Yeah.
So getting into like success and motivation, you're someone that hustles quite a bit, and I really admire that, and I appreciate that in other people. I know it's not super common, but what kind of drives that? I think that you're quite aware there must be an internal motivator or a why or a drive behind it. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I think about it a lot. how do I kind of say this? I'm a lot more aware of drivers, and I think and I know that you're very similar and you do a lot of the deep work, and I think it's really important that you share a lot of this stuff for our clients. I was talking to someone about it just before, actually, on a phone call. So when I was young, and I won't go into a long fucking, you know, autobiography, but mate, when I was young, when I was at school in prep, I started school as a left-hander. Now, in almost every sport, it's quite interesting because I'm ambidextrous. And, like, I'm left-footed in football and I'm both hands in many sports. And they did all these tests and said, you should be right-handed. Ridiculous, because so many people have said that's archaic and they just wouldn't have done it. Pretty much that's where a lot of my mental imbalances came from. Couldn't understand why I couldn't keep up with all the other kids. I wished I was going to the next level. I had all these friends. I felt like I was behind. And I think if you look at anyone who's super successful, and I know you study a lot of, you know, the successful people, if it was like wealth creation or business, they have some kind of imbalance, right? They feel like, you know, I've done a lot of work and a lot of coaching with a psychologist to understand this stuff, but there's, at a deep level, we've got a vulnerable kid, and that little kid felt like he wasn't enough. Now, my dad's story is also that, so I've kind of borrowed my dad's story, and I've had to unfuck myself. So that is the work, right? If I want to be, my purpose is to be a good role model, right? To be a good father, to be a good husband, to be a good coach, and I value doing the work, right? Because if I'm doing the work, I can actually give from a real place, not from theory, right? So I understand that there's a failure schema there, not feeling like I'm enough. So how do we esteem ourselves as high, you know, achievers? It's through unrelenting high standards, ridiculous high standards, right? What typically tends to go with that is a voice called the demanding critic, which is the inner punitive parent, the basically it's my dad voice saying, fucking go harder, right? Like that was football, right? Or improve in some aspect. So learning how to quieten that voice and not be always insatiable and push myself, like when I met you, to, you know, mate, I've had a studio and done 500 sessions a week on my own in 110 hours a week. Like, it's dumb, right? But when you don't have the tools and you didn't know how, and then you get to the end of a day, a week, and you've achieved all this stuff and yet you feel empty, and so you have these other things kick in, like detached self-soothing and wanting to drink and gamble and all these other things to distract yourself. Now that I understand that, it's been about learning about how to reset that energy and know basically how to come from a place, to be honest, mate, of self-love and caring. And my whole purpose is to learn how to show up with, mate, the right energy and drive, because, yeah, like at a foundational level, like it's about living your values and the things that are really the important things in life, right? Like, and I know you've done, have you done a bit of the Demartini stuff around values?
Yeah, bunch. What is it? What's the value system called? I'm having a mental blank right now. The main one.
I did a lot of that through the Mojo Master, and he uses the Demartini method. But you essentially, like, a lot of that made so much sense to me. Like, we're here to live our own intrinsic set of values, right? And then from that, you know, and that's being my biggest purpose, then obviously it's about me wanting to experience like love and connection. It's like, it's why I enjoy my time with you, mate. I love being around high achievers. Equally, I know we all fucking suffer from the same curses. And at the same time, it's about living a really good life and a life that you actually want to live. So that, to be honest, mate, what drives me to kind of show up is I want to live a life with purpose and meaning and share value. And what have I learned how to navigate over 15 years? It's pretty much business and health. So that's the thing I love to share and kind of give back. Obviously, I want to build wealth for my family, but I also teach people how to do the same thing for themselves. So that's what drives me to be consistent, because I value that consistency. Equally, I'm learning how to have much more a healthier balance to that, because I've experienced the extremes of a lot of dumb shit and exhaustion.
So how I would summarize that would be, there was probably like a little voice in there somewhere that said, just be better, do more, go harder at some point. Then you kind of summarized, or you learned consciousness around identifying what it is. And now it's a little bit more of like a healthy balance between.
100%. An analogy I use, and I was talking to someone, and actually, mate, it might be helpful for, if this is going out over the summertime, right? Like I was saying to my psych, like, she's like, what do you want to discuss this week? And I'm like, I've worked pretty much with her every fortnight for the last year and a half. And she's like, what do you want? I said, look, to be honest, I don't know how to articulate this, but I just really want to enjoy the summer. And I want to be really present with the kids. And I want to take the time to rejuvenate and really look after myself. But what I always find as a default is I feel like I should be doing something. I should be doing some work. I need to build out some modules. There's some stuff I want to do for next year. My brain's always going, right? And being ADHD, there's about five things going on at once. So yeah, I said, does that explain, like, I just want to be more present and enjoy everything? And she's like, yeah, basically the demanding critic is kicking in and telling you need to do more. And the analogy she used is there's two sides to a coin, right? It's like, I only feel like I'm enough when I tick off achieving X, Y, Z. In fact, the list is like, like fucking long, right? And that's when I'll feel like enough, when you've got enough money, when you've achieved whatever in a week, when you've hit this target, all of this stuff, right? And so much of my life was like outcome-based, where it's like I'm learning how to understand that I am enough even when I'm just taking time chilling on the beach, right? When I'm being present with my kids, when, you know, I've only done 3 sessions for training this week. Like, I'm enough even if I just do that, right? And it's been learning how to kind of have that voice and drown that voice out rather than this fucking insatiable beast that fucking pushes me. And there's never enough anyway. Do you get that?
Yeah, 100% resonate with that. That's incredible. I have a similar story. When I was in like school, primary school, one of my teachers said to my parents, Tim's never going to be anything but a dumb tradie. And I remember my parents told me what the teacher said, and I was like, fuck, that just stuck with me for my whole life. And then I went to uni, tried hard, didn't try that hard. And then it became like a thing that just got more insatiable. And I was like, I'm going to fucking prove to this bitch that I'm not going to be a dumb tradie my whole life. No offense to any tradies, by the way. And that was the kind of thing, was just the doubt that people gave, like at every step. It was like, oh, this gym's not going to be successful. He's too dumb. He's not a good enough coach. He can't do it. So it was more like the external critics that drove me to become successful. And then I went and studied NLP, whatever you think of it. Like, some people have a positive view of it, some don't. But I went pretty deep into it and did a lot of self-work. I came out of doing like the master's in NLP, and kind of at the end of like really deep self-work, you realize that nothing even matters. That, you know, your opinion doesn't matter, what you think of yourself doesn't matter, your success doesn't matter, literally nothing matters in the world. And then there was probably a 6-month period where I was pretty fucked up from doing NLP. I didn't really have any need to do anything because all my needs were covered. I had money, like I had success, I had like a reasonable physique, I had everything. So I was basically had no motivation for 6 months. And I kind of realized that doing the inner work is good, but also it's not good. So I don't really enjoy shit diving anymore into my past trauma and my bullshit, because it kind of takes me away from the person that I want to be, and that is being successful. So I kind of like being a little bit fucked up, like internally, because it pushes me for more. But I can understand like the balance of like too much, which you were talking about there. So
can I share on that? And I get that, and I'm not here to poo-poo anything. Like, to be honest, I only ever did the prereqs to one course, and I never followed through an NLP, and I didn't even really do those because it didn't really resonate with me. But in saying that, there's a lot of tools and there's a lot of crossovers in many different elements that they utilize. But one thing I noticed about a lot of people who do NLP, and it's only an observation, but it's a lot of people I know who've done it at a high level. And that is, they almost use this, like, they almost say things like, I am a, right? Like, they label themselves as a certain person that's gone through things. And from what I've come to understand, and if you were to think like that, you're literally attaching your identity to the thing you don't want, which is fucked up. And that's why I know a lot of people that have done that, and they repeat this. It'd be like saying, like, that's why I don't agree with, like, Alcoholics Anonymous and saying, I am an alcoholic. Well, you're not. It's just the behavior you had, and you didn't have other behaviors. And because you didn't understand that behavior and what was driving it, you did it over and over again. It became a habit, right? And it's fucking bad, and it ruins a lot of things. But so with the NLP stuff, I see a lot of people who are like coaches, and they say that. I'm like, that doesn't fucking resonate with me. Because when you understand, like I said, for me, the inner work is that work every day, right? Like, and when I say it's because I understand what you said, the bit that's missing, and this is why, for example, schema therapy, which is where I've gone down, it's very specific to what you do, like the coping modes that you do. The problem with that as well, and that's why I've got a psych with 5 degrees, she's incredible, but she also is then about how you actually then move beyond that and the strategies that you move. So it's so tangible. I think you would enjoy like understanding, it's so tangible, like Dude, I know exactly when I'm fucking numbing out and going into my default. So I know straight away, fuck, that's what I'm doing. This is not who I want to be. And now I know how to step into more how I need to coach myself out of that. It's actually a helpful tool. And when I understand that everything plays out almost as a cascade of like, this happens and that happens and that happens, straight away I know how to actually reparent that voice. And for me, that's the work, because like I said, even coming to Christmas, I've like wanted to squeeze every element of this year. And it's been a fucking great year. As you know, I launched the Coaches Collective 12 months ago. Mate, not many people would have achieved what I've achieved in 12 months, right? But for me, little fucking high expectation person was like, I reckon I could have actually probably earned 200K more this year than what I learned, what I earned, if I had have just done XYZ. But I bottlenecked on my own a number of times this year until I added people into my team and blah, 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 right? So for me, it's about learning how to handle that voice, because that voice can just derail you for a day, a week, you know, whatever, and feel stressed out. So yeah, all I would say is to that effect, right? I think because people have had the experience of that work and it's very negative, they don't actually know how to actually step into the, well, what's the positive? What's the driver? How does it then equate to every day and how you show up to do all the good things that, you know, give you that fulfillment?
Yeah, 100% agree. There's many methods to exploring mindset and the deep work. I guess it's just about finding out. NLP was good, but for me, like, shit diving is not conducive personally for me, you know, for like essentially for what that was. So like, Mark, you're a successful guy, and successful guys aren't created in overnight successes. And I know you do a lot of self-education, and I think, as you could probably agree with, a lot of coaches and even business owners in general, they miss the whole self-education aspect of it, that it needs to be a constant thing. A lot of people ask me, and they're like, how do you, you know, how do you know so much about X, or how do you know so much about X? It's because it's a daily habit of mine. I'm sure it is of yours. So I wanted to know, in terms of self-education, like, what you're doing every week in terms of self-education, how much time you dedicate to it. Is it structured? And like, is there a structure to your growth and learning, or is it something that you just do every day?
Yeah, dude, that's a good question. I'm structured and I'm unstructured. One of the things I probably, this again, if it comes back to values, right? Like, you think about what drives you to want to grow. And when something's missing, this is why it's, like you said, it's a good thing to be a little bit fucked up, because it drives you to then want to learn or fill a gap. And for me, like, that's values, right? Like, think about it. Like, I grew up around a family where my dad was very work focused and my mum was more of a stay at home mum and an alcoholic and a prescription drug addict. And I love my mum. She's grown, she's worked through a lot of her shit, but in terms of a role model, she wasn't healthy. So I was an athlete, because my dad was an athlete, but I didn't understand health. That's why when I kept getting injured and breaking, I wanted to learn about nutrition and like training and stuff. Like, and I always was into the gym, but it wasn't all about performance. Now it was also about health. So that sent me down the route of like wanting to learn about rehab and all this stuff. So, but now, because I always felt like I wasn't enough, I pretty much, as a PT, spent on average 15K a year minimum on upskilling courses, because I wanted to learn more and I was like insatiable. And I think most coaches are. But now it's more strategic. So for example, I was kind of sitting down and thinking at the start of this year, like what's the one thing, what's the one skill like that I really need to get good at in order to get to where I want to go, right? I know the lifestyle I want and all those things, and I don't want to do as much of the stuff I did at FMA and just exhaust myself, and I don't want to pigeonhole myself into certain areas. I want to do it, you know, be creative as well. So the number one skill, if I came back to it, was about going much deeper into marketing. Now, I know I've seen you do this a lot. So for me, it's been about learning about copywriting. You know, I know you know Matt, but I've brought him into my team. He literally like kind of bench presses and coaches me in learning more about writing. I love that. Like, whereas I went deep, I for years I outsourced marketing to a done for you agency. Now I'm like, I still have that element of it done, but I need to understand it more, so because what I want to teach people how to do, if I'm going to teach people how to get to where they want to get to, They've got all these skills as a coach, but they need to learn the marketing, the sales, and the systems that are going to help them position what they do differently and grow and get what they want. So for me, in answer, shortly, it's what's the skill I need to build? And if I'm now what I'm focused on is I will learn based off what I'm kind of building out. So I have, basically, let's talk about it being business or personal. If it's business, right now, like, by the way, fucking great book if you want to learn something. I've been going through this book. Great book, 40 pages on copywriting, right? Buy that book. It's fucking awesome and simple.
Sorry, what's it called? It's blurry for me at the moment.
This book will teach you how to write better by Neville Medhora. So can send that to you, dude. Right now my skill is copywriting. I'm building out a short course at the moment. So I'm just going to study the two or three books that I need to do at the moment that are kind of helping me with the build out of a few modules of what I'm doing. That's the structure. But outside of that, it's just like I might just do something that more juices me up personally. And that, you know, so that can be whatever. It can be on a book. It can be on an audio book, on a walk or a podcast or whatever. That's more personal. And I'll float between probably three different books because I'm ADHD and it just works for me. Keeps me motivated with it.
100%. I'm pretty similar to you now. I used to outsource a lot to various agencies and now I don't outsource anything. So I learn everything myself and then I train my team to do it and implement it from the team. But I feel like if I don't have a solid grasp on what this is, then I'm probably just going to get ripped off anyway. And then I can just do it much more cost effectively in the team rather than paying an agency, especially with marketing.
Yep.
'Cause shit gets expensive real quickly. So I just want to learn the skills and then teach other people how to do it, especially in the team. I feel like everyone wins that way and then I don't have to rely on anyone. If it's my fuck up, then I'll own that. But then if someone else's fuck up, I just hate being pissed off at people just for not doing the work properly anyway, which I'm sure you can resonate with in business. It's one of my fucking pet peeves is people not delivering.
Mate, I've experienced consequences to the tune of a couple $100,000 with that. So yes, I feel you.
Yeah. So switching into a couple of our last questions here. So you're a coach and mentor for personal trainers and gym owners, I do believe. I don't know if you work with anyone else specifically. Is it just PTs?
There's a couple of people that we're working with in a couple of other areas around finance. And then I've got more some allied health people and nutritionists, but definitely more in that allied health space, but predominantly, yeah, PTs and studio owners. Yeah.
So, you know, what would be the top things that limit their success or stop their growth, like in your opinion? If you were to give me like a top three, just like blanket, like throw it out there. One, two, three. These are the three things that kind of limit their success.
Give me a context. It depends on the person. I tend to coach people that are either the busy coach, a busy PT, studio owners as well. So I'll give you those two examples. Busy PT set up a silly model to begin with. So their offer's broken. So we need to start with actually looking at an offer that is going to fix a lot of their problems and get them back time, right? So it's typically their model and their offer. When it comes to the systems in their business, everything's manual. It's not documented. It's why basically the problem in their business, to summarize it, is them. That they don't know what they don't know, and that's why they're stuck in their bottlenecking and they don't scale beyond themselves. Would you?
Okay.
So does that answer, like, I look at it
my own.
I look at it from two perspectives, right? There's kind of two arms. Either it's like straight away, some people need growth, right? They need to understand their marketing. They need to do the depth. Like, and the thing is, mate, you've done the depth. Like, you understand your audience. You understand all their problems. Like, we talk about the four forces, you know, their fears, their frustrations, pains, like aspirations, that type of stuff. So when you understand that quite deeply, you understand who you're talking to. Most PTs, they don't. They just put out random shit, stuff about their training. Like, people don't care. They don't care about you. They care about themselves, right? So that's what they're looking at. Yeah. Do you want to share on that?
No, I was just like, it's me. I share my own training as well. But like, it's that's not my form of marketing. That's just me. Yeah, that's my journey, documenting my journey.
That's cool, dude. That's also a part of marketing, right? Like documenting your journey is people that seeing themselves in you and going, I'd love to be that, right? But I guess, yeah, the marketing component and the growth components, like when you understand like your unique mechanism, the person you want to help and actually know about that thing about that person, your whole life becomes about coming up with like understanding their problems, their hurdles and developing solutions. So that for me is like the growth arm. Or the other part of it is then you'll get to a point where you bottleneck and it's usually systems. Now, what I'm doing, Tim, and I know you said like a big step for me is I was teaching PTs a lot of the systems. Now what I'm actually going to be switching to is, and it's funny, I actually saw your missus talk about this and I agree. I'm going to go down the route of a lot more done for or done with you systems, right? I want to just give them a system. We'll just like, there's no point in like trying to work it out and understand, like we'll just implement it. Every part of the business from your CRM to like how you book people into your diary to knowing their sales process, that's coaching. But then there's the delivery aspects where I know you've spent time with modules, but developing out the module. So my program will literally be marketing, then it's end or it's building out the systems around your deliverables. And then obviously we get to high level stuff around marketing so that when we start to dial up paid ads, of which again is a whole nother beast, as you know, we get a specialist in to do it. But it's about knowing how to, like, so they're the two things. It's either growth or it's systems, and it's always a push-pull between the two, right, where you're going to bottleneck. So for me, that's my view, but all of my coaches, their biggest bottleneck is that you can't do it all on your own. You just fucking can't. You'll just literally stunt your growth. And that's why you've got team members and other people, and you're now more the higher level, you know, which you should have been, which is what I was encouraging you 5 years ago. It just took you a couple of years into your business to get it, right? That you had to step out of doing all the work, like all the sessions, all the training, and be more the strategic person, the person who's driving the business.
Best thing I ever did, I eventually do listen. But maybe it's not.
Yeah, but you're stubborn. I know, you got to prove a point. I get it.
100% all the time. So, Mark, thanks for the chat today. How do people find you? How do they hear about you? Is there anything else you wanted to mention or bring up?
Mate, I love how short and sweet this was. I enjoyed having these chats. It's different for me not doing a bit of back and forth with you. But look, the business is the Coaches Collective. We have a Facebook group, Coaches Helping Coaches. I think it's always a good spot where I just share a lot, to be honest, of like free stuff and kind of what it takes. But yeah, Coaches Collective, by the way, we didn't even have a website until the start of next year. We're getting that all up, but we've done pretty well without it. So otherwise, follow me at Mark Luxon on Instagram or Facebook. Yeah, so I'm always putting out stuff online because it's about showing up and attracting the right people. So that's me. And I guess, mate, final point is I feel like, mate, I really appreciate that you're doing good things in the industry. And I can see how much you're starting to give back to our industry. And people should listen. People should listen and pick your brain. And that's probably what I'll do on our next podcast, because I always like to hear what's happening right now. Like, I'm coaching a lot of people and I can strategically see that there's a lot of things going on around certain times of the year, which actually is my final question to you. What is a trend that you're noticing within your members right now? And what do you think is really important for them to focus on over the next 4 to 6 weeks?
Right. What is a trend I'm noticing in my members right now, and what do they need to focus on for the next 4 to 6 weeks? A trend I'm noticing is people just being slack fucks and taking the next couple of weeks like fully chill, barely training, eating like shit, and then kind of just picking it up in January and then saying like, oh, fuck it, we'll start again on the 2nd or the 9th of January, which pisses the fuck out of me. And I'm also probably would piss you off as well if you were a coach or yep. client. So what they need to focus on is just hitting the minimums in the next couple of weeks. Personally, for me, I think like 3 times a week, 4 times a week minimum, just show up, get an hour done. Don't eat like a cunt in the next couple of weeks. And then we can start the year on a fresh, not start the year plus 5 kilos and just have absolutely blown it out. I think, like, I don't know if that's a Eastern States thing as well, but it's a big culture over here. It's like most people finish last Friday or this Friday, and then they just go fucking ham for a few weeks, just doing nothing, eating shit, and drinking heaps. And I think probably just from like a coaching point of view, that's it. I'd say, like, from what I've seen in my partner's business, which is probably like business related, most people just switch off and they have no plan going into next year, which is probably criminal in business. I think everyone should start 2023 with a plan on like what they're actually going to do in their business. I'm sure you can agree with that.
Yep. Yeah. If you're not like, so yes, I totally agree. And it was exactly, we just did a podcast on it. So Tim, my final thoughts are like, there's a reason why, and this is crazy, but you know that this is a very basic stat and everyone knows it, but it's crazy when you think that for every adult, which is considered over 18, 66%, it's even more, it's closer to 70% are overweight or obese. You call them fat fucks. The thing is, right? Yeah. That is fucking crazy, right? It's crazy. And all of these habits that you've actually been building, your gains get lost in a matter of days, weeks. And why would you have, and this is the story they run, like, I just need a break. I just need to rest, right? What you should look at is how you actually learn how to manage yourself, and what you've been building into your life is what we naturally do. It's why you're attracted to this space, right? You want to be healthy. And if you want to stay on track, training and exercise should be the cornerstone. Because when you eat and you train well, I'm sure you're eating better. You're sleeping better, you're recovering, you probably don't want to smash 25 beers or whatever, beers a day, right? And like you said, how long did it take them to lose the 5 kilos? Probably, what, 3 months? Like if they're training and adding muscle? You'd literally undo everything. So everything's a choice. And I'm really glad you said that, because it's an Eastern, it's a Australia-wide thing. And it's exactly what I'm kind of seeing. And I'm just thinking, like, you know, for me and for us, I know it's a cornerstone. What makes me feel good. So regardless, if you want me to summarize what I said today, what makes me consistent is because it makes me feel good. And that's why I'm going to train every day, even when I'm down the beach or when I'm up in Bright, up in the country. And then I'm probably going to do some more incidental activity with my kids and go for bike rides and play basketball. And I'm still going to post every day on my marketing. I'm just going to prep it in, like you, 2 weeks in 2 days and get it all out and schedule it. And then enjoy life, maybe also have a couple of beers, because I also love that, and stay on track. So, yeah, dude, I appreciate that. Exactly what is kind of coming back with us. But, yeah, it's basic stuff that keeps you on track for the long term.
Epic. Thanks, Mark. I would suggest checking Mark out. Great mentor and a great person to follow.
Bro, appreciate your time, mate. Thank you so much.